If you were looking in the eyes of someone who was on their deathbed, and you could see the fear in their eyes, Deepak, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that the death is a transition and is an act of creativity of your soul to move to a higher level of its expression. I would, of course, would have wanted that particular person to have experienced the unknown much before they die, so when they actually die, they have no fear of death. You know, my father died in meditation and was fully aware that he was dying, and he died in total peace the way he had lived. And that's the way to really die. The quality of your life affects the quality of your death as well. And if you have experienced the unknown and made it known to you now, then you will never fear it when you actually die.
Well, is it difficult to convince people of that?
No, I think, you know, in my book, The Book of Secrets, I talk a lot about various exercises you can do to experience a part of yourself that does not know death, the part of yourself that doesn't die. Your body dies, in the mind that you have at the moment, you know, the mind that is expressing itself at that moment through the body is also subject to death, but the essence that creates mind and body never dies. So, you know, it's very important for people to experience that while they're alive.
You know, what is there sometimes seems to be real, but it's not. It could be an illusion in the mind, right?
Well, so is everything else that you see as physical is impermanent. You know, everything that you experience physically has a beginning, is a middle, and an ending. And without the mind, it would not be even physical. Your mind is what creates it into the appearance of physical reality. Without your consciousness, scientists tell us the world is a radically ambiguous and ceaselessly flowing quantum soup. It's a soup of energy and information, which in our mind and in our consciousness is converted into physical reality. So all physical reality is first experienced in the imagination, and then it becomes real. And so too, as the soul travels on its eternal journey through cosmic time, whatever it imagines, it creates.
Have you seen, and you drive cars, obviously, have you ever seen anybody road rage before?
Yes, I have seen people in road rage. In fact, I once had a person who got into road rage with me, and I stopped my car, got out of the car, and I went and talked to him and asked him if I could help him. And, you know, quietened him down and really helped him alleviate his stress.
Did it work? You're lucky he didn't try to shoot you.
Yeah, no, it worked. In fact, you know, once I was held up in a little town in the United States in the South in the middle of the night by three young kids, and I talked them out of it.
They pulled a gun on you?
They pulled a gun on me, and I said, you know, you're going to get into trouble. What you want is money, and here's the money, and drop the gun, because, you know, if you do that, I promise you I won't tell anyone. I won't call the police. I won't even tell my wife. For a whole month, I won't tell anyone, but I don't want you kids to get into trouble. And so they were, you know, the gun was shaking in the hands of one of the kids, and then finally I said, drop it. Here's the money. Just leave me my credit cards. And he dropped the gun and he ran.
Then you picked up the gun and shot them, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I just walked away and I kept my promise. I didn't tell anyone.
Did you pick up the gun and turn it in, or what you do?
I picked up the gun and I turned it in and a few days later.
See, yeah. You know, a lot of people email me about forgiveness, and you seem to be the kind of person who could do that. I'm not sure I can, and I don't know why.
You know, the forgiveness starts with forgiving yourself. You know, you should ask yourself, am I perfect? And the answer is no.
Of course not.
Okay, so am I capable of some of the things that I most dislike in other people if the circumstances were there? And the answer is yes. You know, if you were in a position where you were surrounded by dehumanizing conditions, there was abject poverty, that you felt that you had been harmed, you felt a sense of injustice, then those same tendencies could come out in you. So the best way to start is say, you know, I'm not perfect, and that's okay. I love myself as I am, and I'm grateful to God for making me just as I am. And I say, thank you, God, for making me just as I am. I love myself as I am. And then having done that, you say to yourself, every decision I make is made, every decision I make is a choice between a grievance and a miracle. And when I let go of my grievances against other people, I will choose miracles. And in that moment, you bring to your awareness all the people that you're holding grievances against, and one by one, you let go of them. That is the true act of forgiveness. And when you do, you feel that you have shed a huge burden, because the burden of judgment, the burden of holding grievances and resentments is a huge psychological burden. And when you shed that burden, you have access to a creativity that allows you to receive miracles in your life. So it's not a question of, you know, can I do that or can I not do that? Everyone can do that, and when they do that, they feel that they have access to a creative intelligence that was there all the time, but it was overshadowed by their resentments and grievances.
Could you forgive someone who, let's say, murdered a member of your family?
Yes, I could, because what would I get by having them killed in turn? How would it help me or my family? I would try my best to understand the situations and circumstances that created that, and then would do everything to alleviate such conditions in which these horrible things arise.